Let's go to Ecclesiastes for a change. This next section, if we get to it, is one of my favorites. Hey. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitudes of words. Now, the multitude of business is the whole idea of being busy. And it's the multitude of words and the weird dreams are tied to that concept of the idea of convincing yourself that you need to be busy. And you do it in order to have identity. Without busyness, then without something to do, then you have to face the emptiness of your own soul. And that's not acceptable to most people. So the multitude of business comes from a feeling of insecurity, of unknowingness. And it's the engine that drives the world. It's really the fear of being alone, the fear of being without something to do, that is the engine of the world system. Now, we're going to review a whole bunch of the contrasts in the Old Testament so that you can see the emptiness and futility of the multitude of business. And from it cometh the dreams, and from the dreams come the multitude of words, or the dreams, or imaginations. Instead of casting down the imagination and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, there is a continual need, and in some cases it's a psychotic need, to be busy. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Here he does.
Have I been reading anybody's mail? What's your response to this? What?
Just thinking about this busy stuff. You know, I'm not always busy around. I always think that I should be.
But you're busy in your mind. This is where the issue comes from. It's not talking about what you do outwardly. That's.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm going on vacation during the holidays.
Are you going to Moab?
A dream cometh through the multitude of business or imaginations, and so you wonder why you can't stop your mind. It's because you don't stop your mind.
What's the dream thing there?
Imaginations, thoughts, the whole process of ideas, pushing energy into a situation. Do I have to explain it anymore?
I think I'm getting it now.
You getting it? Are you guys noticing the desperate attempt and grab for any just a stick of righteousness? All right. The pains of the generation of the flood came through the multitude of business, for they said, "What is the Almighty that we should believe on him?" We have things of our own we must do. Uh-oh.
That's when you know you're headed the wrong way.
That's in Job 21:15. The generation of the dispersions. Genesis, this is led to dispersion. This isn't the diaspora. The dispersion is the generation of the dispersion is the generation of Babylon, the Tower of Babel, I mean. So it says, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Let us make us a name. That's what your whole families have taught you, for the most part. And if you didn't, you feel shame. Right? That's Genesis 11:4. And then the destruction of Sodom. Let us cause the mikveh of meeting of hospitality to the wayfarers to be forgotten. Because from God's perspective, remember, you never shun what comes to you and you never seek what isn't in front of you. And so Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because they did not meet the needs of the wayfarers or the homeless or the people that were coming, the what do you call it? You know what I mean. The Egyptians. Exodus 5 said, who is the Lord that I should hearken unto his voice? In other words, I got my own crap to do. Do I need to get very specific, or do you understand this is all you? What? What?
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about.
What's your response? Get mad at me?
I'm healed.
You're healed?
When's the last time we had this?
About 30 seconds ago.
No, no, no. That wasn't because I was busy. That was because I was confused. No. I'm healed.
And judges were the general Sisera, who finally Deborah destroyed. In 20 years, he oppressed the children of Israel because he couldn't stand for them to have nothing to do. And Sennacherib, who are they among all the gods of these countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that we should serve, that we should deliver, that their Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? In other words, who in the hell are these people? Why don't they serve the same God? Who are they? Who do they think they are that they shouldn't come under my authority? And that's Isaiah 36. All the troubles for Benjamin and Judah came because, according to Jeremiah, came because they had belied the Lord. Everybody know what belied means? If I belie, what am I doing? I'd be lying down?
it looks like you're doing one thing, but you're doing something else.
Detailing stories.
Is that like belay?
Is that that drink that you used to drink?
Well, belay that order. It means
delayed.
It means belay.
No, belay just means you're not. Yeah. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. You have one thing going on inside you and another thing that's outward. Nebuchadnezzar, who is this God that shall deliver you out of my hand? But we don't say that. We say, God's powerless because I have to take care of this myself. It's the same coin. You understand? I got to lean in my own understanding. I got to go back to cause and effect. I got to return to the world. I got to do this instead of waiting on him. Belshazzar. This is the infamous time when the finger of God wrote on the wall. And at the same time he wrote on that wall, he wrote on the wall of your mind, if you can only see it. If you can only have the ears to hear it. They drank wine and praise the gods of gold and silver. And the minute they did, the finger of God wrote, Mene, Mene, Tekel Upharsin. You have been weighed in the balance and found eternally lacking. And unless you know that's talking about you, you won't understand anything that I'm ever going to say. So why would you return to the stuff that you know you have? You say you believe in God, then why would you return to your own arm of understanding? Because it's eternally lacking. Anybody? What? Why are you laughing?
I'm going to have to put that on your headstone.
Mene, Tekel Upharsin. Pharaoh essentially said, I will raise myself. Who will raise himself above whom? I above my God or my God above me? No, I will raise myself above God. You never say that, but that's what Pharaoh does. You are the Pharaoh. God has it in mind that you should stop. And you say, no, I will raise myself above the clouds, the five I am, or I wills of Satan. The chief one. I go above the place where I'm supposed to remain in the tent. And of course, our favorite, Haman. Haman was come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared. And what happened? He was hoisted by his own petard. And in Psalms about all of us, it says, He hath also prepared for him the weapons of death, yea, his arrows, which he made sharp. We don't understand. From the beginning on, your warfare is over. It always has been over. The Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. Been waiting for his people to sit down and be at rest. Amen? All right, so you understand what a multitude of business is and the dreams and the words and da-di-da-di-da, right? So we're gonna shut those mothers up, right? We're gonna cast down those imaginations. We're not gonna live in this dream world trying to bring God somewhere where he isn't, in our imaginary world. Aren't we, Gary?
No.
All right. What the hell happened here? I've got a page out of place. And all my massive notes. Well, let's go. When thou vowest to vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now, of course, we know that we shouldn't vow at all. Decree a thing. Pay your vow. These people that use half scriptures. Deuteronomy says, if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin to thee. In other words, if you don't vow. The whole basis of what we're about is never again to vow. Now, it's all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. There is no more, well, I'm going to make a promise and I'm going to make a deal with God. Right? Anybody ever made a deal?
he's just been to jail as a big deal.
Anybody's ever been shot at has made a few deals. Anybody that's been ever held hostage has made a few deals. Well, the Talmud says, whoever vows and does not fulfill that vow causes himself and others to fall under the power of four transgressions: idolatry, immorality, bloodshed, and slander. And I don't want to go through all those, but it's not just not doing it. It's a big deal. So if you want to live by the law and make vows and promises, then you've got some serious, serious problems. All right. This is why we do the Kol Nidre. Even the marriage vows are burned, because if there is a vow connected to it, it cannot be motivated by love. It'll be motivated by obligation. Once you have a feeling of obligation about anything, then love ceases. Is that clear?
One of the problems with living by the law means you're subject to even the laws you don't know or haven't heard. It goes so far beyond.
Well, you can't live by the law. That's the whole point. You're just a liar. Come on in.
Hi.
All right. Hi. This is Elizabeth.
How are you?
And this is some
people. The reprobates.
Reprobates. You want coffee?
Yeah, I need a lot of coffee.
Okay, verse 5. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. The Talmud says that this is concerned with several different people. One is those who publicly undertake charity but don't do it, and those who make a pretense of knowledge and understanding of the scripture, those who say that the teacher is in error without witnesses. He makes himself out to be a Bible scholar to be seen of men. Now, I love this one. You can. Nobody will ever sit next to me, okay, Elizabeth, but you can sit next to Joyce Santa.
It's all right. Thank you.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
I forgot what you're talking about.
Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. And again, remember, those who publicly undertake charity but don't do it, and those who make a pretense of knowledge and understanding of Scripture but are idiots.
What do you want? What was the question?
Does this touch anybody? It covers others. Those who allow their hearts and mouths to speak slander, i.e. tale-bearing, gossip. And then they say this alludes to Miriam when she said to Moses, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" And all her limbs were punished. So her mouth caused her flesh to be punished. The idea is your mouth, either by speaking or not speaking, will cause leprosy. It doesn't matter whether you speak or don't speak, because the mouth is the mouth of your mind. And so by relying on the one witness of your mind, then you have Oh, well, no, but what you, well, the real trick is, well, there's two or three different voices up there that are telling me that I'm right.
And they all agree.
And they all agree up there. So you've become, in your judgments, you've become, you're the jury. You're the courtroom. You're the prosecuting attorney. You're the witness. You're the entire court. And you're the executioner. That's what you do when you make judgments about people. And you cause by not letting it be seen, you cause your flesh to be leprous. That's the whole point of it. Now, if you let it be seen, so you can know the either it's right or it's wrong, but then you can be cleansed as a leper. Cleansed from leprosy, because you, all of a sudden you recognize, oh my God, I did it again. I'm the only way I'm cleansed of leprosy is to see that I'm totally leprous from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. You got it? All right.
I'm thinking of some of the painful experiences of being in a room with all kinds of people who love and care for me, and I'm saying something and they're all witnessing against what I'm saying. That is so tough.
Can you give us an example?
To not believe this, but believe the witnesses. Not want to accept death.
Well, it's the whole point. That's why that is the ultimate definition of leprosy of the forehead, according to the law. You are forever alone. You cannot even be with other lepers. And so because of that transaction, which in essence is self-righteousness, then all you can do, those sons of bitches, if they only had my knowledge, then they wouldn't mock me.
If
they only understood what I was saying. He's talking about me of making fun of him, by the way. Would you? Can you? I can't imagine me making fun of anybody. Okay. For in the multitude, no, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also many vanities. But you, as for you, fear God. What it says, though, it's a better translation, is for when through a multitude of dreams or imaginations and vanities, there are also many words. When dreams and vanities take hold of you, three things deliver: prayer, charity, and repentance. And that's what we started to talk about yesterday, the other day. Is my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, empty themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their ways which are evil, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's talking about the promised land, which is not America. It's the land of the New Jerusalem that we have polluted with our own dreams and vanities, with the idea that something else needs to be added to the mystery, with our constant, incessant busyness. Anybody understand?
That thing you just said about it causes many worries, is that what you said?
Hmm?
It causes many worries was the word you used? Yeah. That, I know that one intimately, because it's like there can't be two. If there's two, there's a multitude. If I start worrying about this, then all of a sudden it's everything, and I'm surrounded
everything is wrong.
I'm completely surrounded by worries, which means I'm completely paralyzed, which means I just freeze. And the only way out of that, for me, in my experience, is not prayer, it's charity, is to get up and do something for somebody else, which leads to forgetting.
Well, again, it's the three things are prayer, charity, meaning lay down your life for somebody, lay down the right to yourself, and then total repentance, leaving yourself behind. I mean, that's, you know, Harry and I have had meetings for 30 years, and each time he is convinced that someone in the office is out to get him. And they have an agenda that is his unhappiness. Does that sound familiar? No?
Walter used to attack him.
Just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean I'm wrong.
But I mean, and that's why Harry's a blessing, because he reveals quickly what you feel. And so the whole point of it is once he sees through it, then all of a sudden nothing has changed, but in an instant everything is at peace, everything is perfect, everything is finished. And that's always true. It's only your mind that sees something different. And your mind is the evil one, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. But I'm going to pay attention to this great idea I have that came from that which is cursed.
Don't
come up
here.
No. The same Hebrew word that denotes charity denotes righteousness. I mean, those two words can't be separated. Self-giving, and it can't be a separate act apart from righteousness, because if you can see that, then there's no such thing as self-giving. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, you have to die. It's not even that you have to die. You have to see that you're dead and your life is a lie. And that's what all this is about. Through a multitude of dreams. What does it say? For dreams or ideas cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of his words. All right.
I think that last thing you said is like a cornerstone. If that's not a prerequisite of your understanding, you have to go off into self-fulfillment. But if you see that you're dead, past tense, future tense, then you can hear the mystery. Otherwise, you try to make something out of it with the powers of who you are.
Amen. One of the things, remember, whenever we study and do Yom Kippur or any of the fasts, it says that the soul that will not is not troubled on that day shall be cut off from my people. And Psalm says this: the Lord shall answer you in the day of trouble. But the better translation in Hebrew is an interesting word, and it's the meaning of discipleship. And that in the day that you trouble yourself, God will hear you. I mean, there's no righteousness. There's no. Everybody gets troubled, you know. But that's not the meaning of it. It's the reason that the meaning of discipleship is denial of self. I've had people tell me, well, You're teaching discipleship, but what we are over here is we're just Christians. Well, that can't happen. There isn't a separate group over here that's Christians and a separate group over here that's disciples. If you're a believer, you're a disciple. And if you're a disciple, the essence of discipleship is trouble yourself. Why? Why would anybody trouble themselves? Why would we have taken a vow of poverty? Why would I have taken a vow of chastity? Why would I trouble myself? Why should you stop ministering to yourself? Because in the day that you trouble yourself, you will hear from God, and God will hear your voice. But most of your troubles in life are not there because you've troubled yourself. They're there because you're fighting against the Holy Spirit. Do you understand me? That's why I get so upset at you if you continue to try to fix your flesh or get delivered from something. It's just crazy. In the day that you trouble yourself, the meaning of discipleship, then you will hear from God. That's enough for today. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody understand perfectly? And then the final exhortation is, but thou fear you, as for you, fear God. And every day of your life, and every second of every day, you have to know that the next nanosecond could be the judgment seat. And it kind of destroys your little ideas and plans and ambitions. All righty, take a big dive.